Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Yes, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian narratives, positive Nigerian vibes all the way. It's 6 p.m. Nigeria time, and time for us to do some real talking with Lola on Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And I'm sure she's ready there with her guest. And this is the first one this month, so I'm sure we'll be talking about something else. I think today's episode, if I'm not wrong, is today's entrepreneurs. And she typically has another interesting guest with us. All right, Lola, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Happy Easter. May the spirit of Easter be with us all.
All right, no problem. Today, like I said, we're testing something. We're transmitting from Ibadan instead of Lagos. And, of course, we'll be doing it once in a while like that. And shortly, Real Talk with Lola will be live on terrestrial radio station on Life Radio 107.5. So we'll be doing a combo whenever we're on air. About the audience and the diaspora will be listening to you, Lola.
That would be great. I mean, we thank God for great steps. My Oga.
Yeah, we are together on this journey. All right, so let's meet your guest.
Yes. Today's topic, like I said, is looking at today's entrepreneurs. And why did I actually bring up this topic? When I just had like a little brainwave, I was thinking of, you know what, a lot of guts business in Nigeria, and it takes a lot of guts for the young ones to go into, I mean, will I put it with their full chest to say, you know what, I'm going into business. Most of the time you see them putting out everything they have out there to do this without having a fallback plan. And luckily, I know some people that have gone through setting up businesses, and yes, I need them to let us know what it really takes in Nigeria and run it successfully. I mean, with all the ups and downs that comes with running a business. And one of the young people I'm going to be talking to is none other than the CEO of Sycamon Nigeria, by name Babatunde Akimoses. Apart from being somebody I know very well, I really do hold him in high esteem, because I think he's one of the young ones really cutting his teeth out there and doing a lot of wonderful things. Today, I would like you to tell us a little bit about yourself first before you tell us about what Sycamon is all about.
Okay, thank you very much, Lola. It's a privilege to be here. You just spent a few minutes making my head swell with all those amazing things you are saying. I don't even know if I'm worthy, we'll be here. I mean, I've been doing this show religiously for a while now. My name is Akimoses. Where do I start from? Basically, I'm the CEO of Sycamon Nigeria. Prior to now, I've had some years of work experience. I had a small stint with Shell Nigeria. From there, I moved to KPMG. And from there, I moved to PwC before I went to business school. And in business school, with my a few months. I also had a few months work experience with Pezesha, which is a fintech in Nairobi as well. Prior to this work experience, I studied economics as a first degree in Bowen University. And I'm also a qualified accountant with ICAN, Institute of Chartered Accountants. I throughout all this work experience, it was also always my vision and my dream and, you know, goal to go into entrepreneurship. But I always wanted to work first and learn from how structured businesses are run. So I sort of gave myself a 6 to 10 year timeline to really study the environment and study other business. And, you know, that's exactly what happens. So I'm here today. I think that's a very brief summary.
It sounds very interesting to listen to storyline. But now let's dive straight into the discussion for today, running businesses in a business in Nigeria. You are a young entrepreneur from what we can see. And I know it's not very, very easy. I mean, how easy was it for you? Or how was it into this you are right now?
Okay, so that's a very good question. I think for the most part, right, it's a lot of it is really just what you said. It's the guts and the boldness, right? Especially when you have I had a very comfortable 9-to-5, earning a very decent, salary. So making that transition was a very, very bold move. A lot of people with something that is secure, then still carry ahead and go and test the waters for something like that. So a few things have really helped. So, you know, one is, I think one of the first things that really helped out was, you know, having that first work experience. There was a network to sort of rely on in terms of, you know, looking for other stakeholders to join the business in terms of customers. I mean, the fact that work experience before, I wasn't a newbie per se, so I wasn't like coming out of university. Whole network that I got from working for a few years really, really, really helped. And, you know, on the domestic side, having a very good also support system in terms of, you know, family. Not everybody has that. And that one, I can't really credit it to any of the skills I have in terms of that's really just luck, because the family I have, parents, aunties, uncles that, you know, have, you know, more or less really encouraged and really pushed me along the journey. And another factor I'll also say is also, you know, patience and resilience. I think when we started this journey, I knew for a fact that the first year was going to be tough. And I didn't have any realistic expectations. I knew that, okay, we get through the first 18 to 24 months before things will start to stabilize. And that is exactly what happened. I didn't see that suffering. Pardon me?
Go ahead. I think it's Abiodun. There's an Abiodun that is interfering. You should just mute his microphone. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. They've muted it now.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so I was just talking about, you know, the patience and the terms of, you know, being patient enough to know that this thing is not going to blow overnight. I didn't start today and expect to start making 100 million tomorrow. Made the 100 million anyways. And I believe I'll get there eventually. And also, really just, last but not least is also understanding. Okay.
Go ahead. It's Abiodun's phone that is interfering.
Something. Oh, okay. No problem. Yeah, I say last but not least is also the, understanding the environment that you're doing business in. I mean, this is Nigeria, right? I think if you start a business now, you start a business, you know that you have to make plans for power. You know you have to make plans for some domestic security. You know you have to make plans for, you know, some of those things that might not be readily available. ground. So if you start in Nigeria today and start complaining there's no power, the fact is that there was no power before you started. So it's not new information. It is knowing the reality on ground and, you know, making realistic plans and expectations tackle some of those challenges. And the truth is, some of those challenges actually present opportunities, you know, for business, which is exactly, you know, part of what we are doing. For instance, credit is difficult to get injuries. It's also a business opportunity that people like Scam are opting to. So, you know, those are some of the, you know, few things. I mean, I mentioned about four things just to recap again. I talked about, you know, the work experience I had, the support from, you know, family and friends. I talked about patience and resilience. And last but not least, I talked about the understanding the realistic factors of doing business in area and putting those into account as you plan for a business.
Very interesting about credit, okay? That's one of the questions I really love to answer. Knowing the what Nigeria is all about, okay? And knowing the mindset of people in Nigeria. How easy has it been people accepting? Because I know that before you, the people go into the credit system, people believe in, they would rather go to these, let me use Alajos, you know, get money lender and put it, but with Sycamore now, I know that basically what you people do is put in structured way of borrowing money. How has the society in general, especially Nigerian, been able to fine-tune themselves into this new way of life? Because, you know, some people will tell you, oh no, I would rather go and borrow from a money lender than borrow from a bank. You know, it's just a mindset. Because, you know, yeah, the bank can come out and take that. So how have you been as a company been able to bridge this gap and let people see that what you're doing is doable?
Okay. Yeah. So very, very interesting. Very interesting question. So one thing again, you know, as I've, you know, started from the beginning, these things are, is also a gradual process, right? So one thing that we've been able to do, which we started and we are still doing, educate on the differences between, you know, official and non-official.
So how have you been as a company been able to
and also the consequences,
bridge this gap and let people see that what you're doing is doable?
Okay. Yeah. So very, very interesting. Very interesting question.
What's going on?
So one thing again, you know, as I've, you know, started from the beginning, these things are, is also a gradual process, right? So one thing that we've been able to do, which we started and we are still doing, is educate on the differences between, you know, official and non-official.
So how have you been as a company been able to
and also the consequences,
bridge this gap and let people see that what you're doing is
I think
it's
the internet
doable.
Is playing up. We're
okay,
having
yeah,
that,
so very, very interesting. Feedback. Very interesting question.
Yeah, we're playing back.
So
yeah,
one thing again, you know, as I've, you know, started from
maybe
the beginning,
these
things are, is also a gradual process, right? So one thing that we've been able to do, which we started and we are still doing, is educate on the differences between you know, official and non-official.
So how have you been as a company been able to
and also the consequences,
bridge this gap and let people see that what you're doing
all right,
is
doable? I think you know, we have to take a break. Let's see what's happening here. Tudeaki Moses, your mic was muted, and I think we'll just, you know, take a break and try to do this connection again and make it seamless.
Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
looking as the clouds go gray. Thunder roars and the earth sings. The season's just beginning. Sunlight it hides as the clouds make way. For the pouring of my blessings, I will not be afraid. I see it now, I understand, I know. So I embrace it, dance. In the rain, it's for my seed to grow. For every prayer and every seed I've sown, Lord of the harvest knows I'm reaping back a hundredfold. The land is green, it's green, oh, oh. The land is green, it's green, can't you see? The harvest is ready, 'cause the Lord of the harvest told me so. It's green for me. It's green for me. Standing alone can be a heavy load, but my vows I won't be breaking, though my heart is aching. I got a word and I won't let go. It's your will I'm seeking, so I keep on believing. I see it now, I understand, I know. So I embrace it, dance. Once again, it's time for me to grow. For every prayer and every tear I've sown, Lord of the harvest knows I'm reaping joy a hundredfold. The land is green, it's green, oh, oh. The land is green, it's green, can't you see? The harvest is ready, 'cause the Lord of the harvest told me so. It's green for me. I thought it was over, thought you were done with me. But we're just beginning, whoa, my life is a journey. I will walk with you, I will go where you want me to, yes, I will go. Come on.
Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and I think we are back on track with the network on Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And of course, we've been having that that discussion with Tunde Akimoses. All right, Lola, go ahead, go ahead. We're back on track now.
Okay, yeah, Tunde, you were trying to answer a question I asked you about the Nigerians' response to everything, being the fact most of them are used to the small-time loan sharks than going to the bank. You know, like, I will use the word, there's a myth of you borrowing money from the bank than you going to meet a loan shark than going to the bank, because you were trying to give us an answer to that. Answer, so go on.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. The thing we've done is a lot of, you know, financial education. So we do videos, you know, we talk about everything that has to do with, you know, getting loans, making investments, and we keep doing it all over and over, because, you know, sometimes these things are also, the more you are exposed to this information, the more it starts to, you know, the more you start to absorb it and even live by it. Then we've also shown people, you know, through that information, we've also tried to show them the differences between some of them and using it from, you know, registered like ourselves. And, you know, just out of a perspective of self-interest, a lot of loan sharks can give you a loan of, say, 20% per week, you know, 30% per week, yeah. And the consequences for not repaying with those guys can even be much more severe, because those guys can be quite aggressive and even, you know, bordering on, you know, doing illegal things just to get, you know, it pays to. And again, we've also tried to, you know, educate the market on is platforms like ours have made it much more convenient through the use of technology. So, you know, for our services, right from the comfort of your home, the comfort of your laptop or your phone or whatever, you can access our services and you don't even need to see anybody physically or fill any paper. It's 100. Why I'm out in the sun, and you know, and last year we even saw, you know, what COVID did in terms of lockdown around the world. When you can stay at home, log on to, you know, a website, a mobile app, or whatever, and then you get access to instant services, right? So the convenience and, you know, the interest rates and even possible consequences of going through people like loan sharks, you know, have made people see that look, itself keep going through this formal channel when you have a setup system, very convenient through the use of technology. You have good customer service. People are willing to walk you through the process. The interest rates are better and all sorts. So it's a mix of, you know, repeated good information and the right information as well to let people know that, look, it's actually in your best interest to go through, you know, some more formal channels, because both in terms of convenience.
Okay. One of the questions I would love to ask is this. Okay. Looking at Nigeria as a country, okay, we're not used to all these. I know the credit facility is a little bit more versatile to people now. It's not something that we're used to. People will tell you abroad, you know, you have access to credit and everything, and it's easy, it's structured. Now, with you coming on board and into Nigeria, run the same Nigeria, let's look at it from the Nigerian perspective now. How has the response been? Are Nigerians receptive to this? Are they making use of this, or are they still a little bit standing on the sideline trying to look at it? Because, you know, when you look at the fact that overseas credit is like part and parcel of our everyday life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In Nigeria, it's new. You understand? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's relatively new. So how has it been, you know, because you can people go into like home loan in overseas and say, you know what, I'm going to get a loan on my house. That is what I'm using to buy. You know, you are about people having mortgages. Yeah. You are about people going to get paying car notes and everything. You are doing basically almost the same thing, loaning people finances. To how has the problem responding to it?
Yeah, well, so the public reception, to be honest, is very good. People have embraced credit to a very large extent, but we still have quite a way to go. And why do I say this now? We still have some cultural differences and nuances in how we approach credit. So Nigeria is mostly a cash and carry society. Right, people want to pay cash for us, even houses, because there is this cultural. I don't want somebody. It's a bad thing, you know. There's this stigmatization attached to owing people. Meanwhile, the modern is run on credit. People had when a new iPhone comes out, you know, people getting on contracts for car, their car loans, their mortgages for houses. We're still not there yet. Today, the credit culture in Nigeria is still mostly based on cash. People have not raised it to the level of, okay, I should be able to get a phone on credit. I should be able to get a car on credit. So we are still, you know, we're still somewhere. We're still trying to get to that sophistication that where people are comfortable to get everything on credit. But, you know, with companies like ours and people have embraced getting cash loans now. Embraced it so much to the extent that right now the demand for credit has actually surpassed the supply. There are a lot more people that need more credits than the system is actually available. I mean, that has its own issues, right? And that's because of how relatively easy it is in a developed society to get credits. Here, you need almost, at least from your conventional banks, you probably need a landed property to get a significant gauge or you get any significant credit. You need a collateral. Talking about a country that has 90 million poor people, how many people have collateral to secure credit? So that's been a major limitation because the financial system is not as liberalized as, you know, so to speak, as, you know, developed societies. But we've started and it's getting better. It's getting better. There are a few of us that we're changing that culture, allowing people to use smaller things that are like other movable assets. Some conventional banks are still, you know, stuck in immovable assets. Like they want building. They don't even want land. They want a building, you know, and not just any building. The valuation of the building has to be a certain amount, you know. But like, again, there are a few of us newer players, the fintechs, making it easier for, you know, the everyday guy that has maybe a car or gold or something movable that is not necessarily a building. So why not? But say that we've started the journey and we're making progress to, you know, get into that level of acceptance. And we'll get there eventually.
Good. So you see why I say it takes a lot of guts to run a business in Nigeria. Yeah. You agree with me on that?
100%. 100%.
Because like they would say, is not. I've looked at I've studied the way the things run. I have that look. Most of those young, especially the young people nowadays, when you talk to 90% of them, what you find out is that look, it seems as if the Nigerian environment itself is so demoralizing for them to run their business. You know, like you rightly say, there's just one thing which is very interesting. The lack of things itself can create a business avenue. So are you trying to tell me maybe some of these young entrepreneurs, do you think they lack soft skills or what?
Soft skills. Soft skills is quite broad. Perhaps you could say that maybe I wouldn't use soft skills. I'm thinking of another word to use. Nice word. Not necessarily. Some is right information, right? That's one. And also it's more of your network people in your circle that would, you know, guide your perspective. So let me give you an example. You have two people, right? You have two people that have power issues. Approach of person is to say, there's no power in Nigeria, let's go to Canada. Okay. And that person starts to process his papers and he goes. A person that says, wow, there's no power. This is an opportunity for inverter. This is an opportunity for solar power, renewable energy, blah, blah, blah. And the person says, okay, let's stay and let's take advantage of this opportunity. If everybody in your circle is of the, okay, let's, you know, for lack of term, let's jackpa. No, let's just go. Then there is a possibility that you would also think like that. But if you are, you know, fortunate enough, or maybe not fortunate, I mean, there's a part of fortune. There's also a part of being deliberate of the people in your space, of people that are, you know, a bit more solutions minded. Then you might also start to direction. It's also a function of how you think. Are you approaching it from a mindset of, okay, this thing can be done, or do you tend to, you know, some people, I like to use myself as an example. When I see a problem, I think about how I'm adding to the problem or the solution. I think for myself, I think from internally first. So if something goes wrong, Tunde, is it your fault? Is there something you could have done better? But it's more of, is everybody else's fault? You know, I want to blame everybody around. Is government, is my uncle that didn't give me money, is my auntie that didn't give me appointments and all of that. So there's also a part of, I don't want to say mindset now because I'm sounding like a motivational speaker, but there's a little bit of that own man you carry it to it. So it's it, but it's a little bit, you know, also deeper than that. It's also an issue of perspective. And sometimes, you know, perspective is also a function of your environment and the kind of people and information that you're allowed to simmer in your mind and take root.
Okay, Mr. Aru, are we going on the middle mark? Or
halfway mark? All right. No, before we go on the halfway mark, I think there's an important question I'd like to ask. Now, looking at entrepreneurship, which comes first, the business idea or the funding for it? Okay, because here in Nigeria, it's like a lot of people first think that money is the problem, you know, that will solve all their business solutions or business ideas. But something tells me that it's the idea that should come first. So what's your own experience been like, especially for somebody who gives credit? Someone wants to start a business, maybe he needs 20 million, 10 million, whatever. What are the critical factors, you know, that you consider, especially when it comes to business funding for startups?
Okay, so that's a very interesting question, and I think it comes up. So I think there are like two questions you've asked now. You know, you asked, you know, about idea versus funding, right?
Yes.
And the truth is, when you look at starting a business, I think about it in three stages. I think about it in terms of idea, insight, and I prefer insight to ideas because ideas are a dime in a dozen, right? Everybody can have an idea to start, you know, a solar business in Nigeria because there's no power. I particularly am more interested in, you know, insight is, okay, what do you know about the solar business that not a lot of people know? Which is more, for me, more important than the idea is the insight. What's your understanding of this business or this industry that not people know? So looking for that edge in terms of understanding, and then like I said, is execution. Is can this guy actually get this thing done? The truth is that if you have a good idea, you have good insights, and you have the willingness and ability to execute on your insights, which must have come from your idea, my own take is that the funding will find you. Today we have a lot of funds. We have a lot of cash sitting around banks. A lot of people are actually willing to invest, especially recently with all the success stories from Paystack, Flutterwave, people raising, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. Investors actually have appetite, but they are looking for people to actually, who can they trust to actually put this money on? And a lot of times, right, if you sit on an idea or an insight and you don't execute, no matter how little, nobody is going to. It's unlikely that you find the funding you need, right? Because people usually want to find out what have you done with your small idea. Even if you are providing it for free, even if you've not made any money, what have you actually done? Because, you know, it's easier to talk and have ideas than to do. So people are actually looking for doers. And if you are actually somebody that has shown an ability, just a little bit of inclination to actually execute, I think the funding will find in terms of startup. That's my personal, you know, belief, which, to be honest, I've seen played out in my own experience and in several of my other, you know, friends that are entrepreneurs.
All right, go ahead, Lola.
Aru, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm listening.
Okay, yeah. One interesting question I want to ask you about today is this. Something interesting came up, and now I am Nigeria of the day. Not being sarcastic now. It's like everybody out there is an entrepreneur, okay? That is what I found out. But I'm not being sarcastic.
I understand. But
I
get it.
But what I realized is that I don't think most of them actually do know the meaning of being an entrepreneur. I mean, the woman that puts out a bread and two plates of beans calls herself an entrepreneur. And then I realized that some of them that have these businesses, they don't even know what it takes to work. They believe, because I actually sent something out, and I realized the person did not realize that there's a difference between a loan. When you go out and meet, like Aru was currently saying now, some people will tell you, the moment I have blah, 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 blah amount, I can start to run my business. I think Nigerians believe it is the money. Sometimes they don't believe that. It takes two people to run something. You can have the idea and not be able to implement.
Absolutely.
So you just might meet somebody that might be able to implement, you with the idea, both of you come together and you bring out something. But I've realized that most Nigerians do not want to take the risk of partnership. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be a CEO
on their own. Yeah.
On their own.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody like I'm looking at is a local.
Yeah.
I'm supply power. I'm producing pure water. They don't even know. Maybe I need to get a marketer so that we can partnership together so we can make it flow. What's your take on that?
I agree 100% with what you said. I mean, just starting from the mindset of, a lot of people wanting to be entrepreneurs, I think it's also it's a bit misguided, if you ask me. Because I didn't entrepreneurs be the employee, because no business is built with, right? So I think everybody should have that sort of self journey, that where they define what fulfillment would mean to them. I personally don't think that everybody should either be an entrepreneur or be an employee. I think any path you choose to do has its pros and its cons. And one element of this I think is missing is a lot of people don't get themselves educated enough to understand these subtle differences. There are a lot of employees that are richer than many entrepreneurs. There are many hungry entrepreneurs. They are very well-paid employees that are making, a lot of money, depending on where you work and how far you go. But when I even say education, I don't mean school education. I mean just getting the knowledge, reading, talking to people that know better. Talk to one entrepreneur, talk to one employee. What are their pain points? Are those things that before you decide you should be? So I always say that, look, I'm not one of those people that will glamorize entrepreneurship and say your salary is the money that they pay you to forget your dreams or something like that. All those funny quotes. I think everybody has their strengths and should play to it. Now, that's the first part of it. The second part of it is the point you spoke about partnership, which, I slightly hinted on before. We all have our strengths, right? And usually you get exponential when you leverage your strength. Business is multidisciplinary. You have to sell, you have to do accounting, somebody has to manage operations. Not everybody has multiple strengths. But if you could partner with one or two people that have strengths in different areas, and everybody should focus on what their strengths are, you'd go a lot farther together. We have a lot of issues where a lot of situations where a lot of people try to be jacks of all trade, of none. So you have somebody, so in a business now, for instance, somebody needs to manage operations at the office. Maybe another person needs to go out and sell. You might not be able to do both. If you're in most cases, for example, and this is just a broad generalization, if you're an extrovert, for example, then maybe you are better off selling. maybe somebody that likes to do back office operations should stay in the office and do the accounting. So why not partner with somebody that can complement you? It's almost like, there are different roles and everybody brings their strengths to the table. And if a lot of us realize it, we will know that, look, there's no, it's just an ego thing and a pride thing where one person wants to be everything to everybody in the business. Meanwhile, you might be better served, you know, going into partnership with somebody that is stronger in one area than you. And it's actually for the business as a whole, because you also get to leverage on each other's networks, because everybody's bringing in their own, you know, contacts. I'm bringing in mine as well. And I also enjoy the perspective or the advantage of different perspectives. You thinking alone, you might not, there are some things that you might miss, no matter how smart you are, because we all have a way of thinking. But partnerships also give you the benefit of, you know, gaining from the past a different might not have. But so I totally agree with, you know, more partnerships need to be considered. And the truth is that it's not everybody is going to be an entrepreneur and not everybody is going to be an employee. We should all, you know, figure out what our calling is and, you know, go for it.
Very, very interesting, because, you know, it just makes you look at it from the point of view that, you know, maybe again, I would not put it as a trust issue, but I mean, Nigerians, I'm a Nigerian myself. One of the first things that comes into mind is you're very careful. We go into you to run a business that somebody comes over and takes over from, you know, that's always at the back of everybody's mind. You know, the first thing they will hear is, be careful though. So they don't go and hijack your business idea. So they don't, you just hear a lot of stories. So I mean, what from your own experience and as a young entrepreneur, because that is one thing that I have seen, that is like entrepreneurship in Nigeria has become, it's like their own body. You understand, a lack of trust, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Is out of lack of trust, because you will see this person running the, you see another business, and I would say to myself, maybe if these two people match together, they might actually bring out better, you know, things than they being independent of each other. And I just see it as maybe lack of not trusting each other as Nigerians. Yeah. What do you think?
That's also, I think is a deep cultural issue that stems from a lot of our backgrounds. So when I say background, I'm talking about both, you know, ethnic and religious backgrounds. You hear people saying stuff like, this person is Igbo, therefore the person is like this. This person is Hausa, therefore is like this. And all those things have risen to the surface and have manifested themselves in business and how we trust it. You go to it's not written law, but if through the grapevine and rumors, they'll tell you that if you're not Catholic, you can't be a manager here. If you're not Yoruba, you can't make it here. You know, and very subtle, and maybe there's some truth to it in those places, right? Because maybe you look at the managers and you see that all of them are Igbo, all of them are Yoruba, and then you start to get guarded. So a lot of these things, I think, our old cultural baggage that I think we've carried era as is into business, because our parents telling us not to trust certain set of people since we're young, and we never, you know, got the courage to break out of that mentality. So there's that, and you know, I think some of those things that are getting better with time and with more enlightenment and exposure. But again, it's not a problem that comes, because that trust, like you said, it manifests itself in so many areas of business, life, you know, marriage is everywhere. That we have that distrust, and not just from our cultural biases, even, pardon me to say, even leadership. actually in Nigeria, people that a lot of trust are leaders. So you have the bars, you have people that believe, that people so corrupt, they can't have the trust, tradition, or are not sure rather. So, you know, they do, I don't know, they right. This is where they are having an inner conviction, then being bold enough to plunge. Truth is that we need people almost people that I work with. Somebody else that might prepare the food, restaurant, somebody else might prepare the food, you know, and stuff like that. You can't, there's only so much distrust that you can carry around. We all need each other to a very large extent. So, you know, to manage trust partnership,
all right, it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio, Real Talk with Lola there. And I think we lost the connection. Seems to be a bad one today. All right, let's go. When we come back, I'm sure we'll just be rounding up, enough time for us to round up on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, Real Talk with Lola.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Wanna make love on the moon, dancing to my tunes. Is it too much? It's not too much. I wanna be in forces if wishes were horses. Is it too much? It's not too much.
It's going to win.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, so Spirit of Nigeria Radio, we're back with the connection. And today you can continue with what you were saying. All right, Lola.
Yaru, you went off a little. Let's quickly take one or two questions, okay? Sure. Somebody just sent me a question that is, do you always need to know somebody to get like a loan or whatever to stop your business as an entrepreneur? Do you always need to know somebody, or is it something that you just start up and that is grow gradually? Because I mean, the topic is that in Nigeria you need a lot of guts to start things. But the question is asking, don't you need to know like corner one auntie give you some money off?
Okay, yeah. So that's a very interesting question. I think that comes up several times. Yes and no. I would say. No, because you'll be amazed how little you can start a business with. You can start with very, very small. Somebody one day, the person has not even gone for NYC, and the person was telling me that he wants $4 million to start a business. And it's not like possible, right? But you've not shown any skills, you've not 100,000 naira. Who is going to million to just like that? I think it's also public expectation, because you can see something very small. Now, in terms of knowing people, again, people also underrate people in their network. Everybody knows somebody All
right, it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and looks like that's the way we're going to round it all up today. Okay, yes, time for us to round it all up. Okay, so let's just see. Next on the line for us on Spirit of Nigeria Radio is Doctor's Round with AG Ahmed. That is when we cross the top of the hour.
Shaky about it and all of that. He said, okay, let's use Wolf to start. I think you would be surprised to see, to know you are willing to offer some sort of within your own work. When I talk, I'm talking and colleagues, old bosses, from unlikely places. Your uncle doesn't need to go to your Erola, or your friends don't need to be so big, and don't have an idea of what they should give you. Somebody for help, and you ask for them, and the person has 2,000 naira. You take it and you should do naira now. Maybe giving me 50,000 naira. You know, so we can't be entitled towards somebody else's somebody else's income or opportunity. Yeah. So
before we round up, the last question, which is a funny question, the person says, "Are any born me?"
I don't think. I think in my own personal philosophy, anything can end with giving enough motivation and time. Okay. So I actually think entrepreneurs are made. Maybe there are a few, maybe one in a thousand or a million that we can argue that are born with the gift. We can itemize them and we can learn them. What are they? You need to be able to sell. You can be able to communicate. You can learn it. If we break it down into those to learn all the individual skills that culminate into being a good entrepreneur. And as long as you are willing to put in, I think it can be done.
Okay, before we round up, Aru, do you have any questions?
No, we're good. We're good. Everything is okay. I think he's made a good job of answering the questions that we've put before him today. And I just wish him the best of luck. The only other thing is, I also think that the internet has made entrepreneurship easier. I don't know what he thinks about that.
Yeah, in fact, I actually had that. I was hoping to talk about that at some point. It's so easy to do from the state of even execution, even from learning. If you have a smartphone now, if you go on YouTube, you can learn most any skill free. Mm. And Instagram has given people a free e-commerce site. I know some people don't even want to open a website because they sell a lot from their Instagram. They gonna have to buy it. Also, I'll go to a car dealer, take it with his car. It's 1.550. I list it on my page. Somebody buys it. I've not even paid for the car, and I just sell it over the internet like that. I mean, these are things that people from 20 years ago couldn't say because the internet wasn't there. So now even paid for anything. They are basically transporting it, and the internet has made all of that possible through if free sales channel, and even what we're as far as the internet. So there are really boundless opportunities. So thank you very much, Mr. Aru, for that point. I think that's very, very critical, saying how easy the internet has made entrepreneurship today.
All right, thank you very much. Lola, that's where we would hang it today again on Real Talk with Lola. You want to say thank you to your guest?
Thank you so much. And I hope our listeners today would have learned one or two things, knowing that, it's not an easy road, like some people will think. You understand, it takes a lot of guts for them to be able to just call themselves entrepreneurs. And I wish everyone that already is in the entrepreneurship, or I wish them luck. And I hope they succeed out. I really, really wish you so much luck in everything that you're doing. Thanks
for
coming.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Bade. We'll go.
All right, thank you very much. Spirit of Nigeria Radio continues with our transmission. And, of course, it's time for Doctor's Round with Dr. A.G. Ahmed, all the way from Ottawa in Canada. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Father, plenty money for my backyard. Plenty money for my house, yo. No recession for where you dey. Oluwa visit me, I dey wait yo. A little low, moti mo tele tele o. Efun mi lowo, mi o ni ayo kayo. Baba bless you, I don't go change yo. Let me make you see. I know go, let's go. Money, money, yeah.